The following is a Pro Football Network podcast, the primary voice for pro football at profootballnetwork.com.
Hi, welcome back. We're at Radio Row, Pro Football Network. I'm David Behrman, Chief Content Officer, enjoying the Radio Row atmosphere. I'm here with the one and only Jason Fitz. Jason and I worked together at ESPN for a decade and a half. Jason, now with Yahoo Sports, and he also is on the air at Fox Sports Radio. Jason, welcome to the Super Bowl and Radio Row.
Oh, this was amazing. Like, it's just amazing to be here. It's amazing to see this. I grew up in this city. This is the city I was born in. It's still a city that has my heart. So to see this event in this city is wild. All of this is surreal.
If you grew up here, you love Vegas. This is my 17th trip. I couldn't believe it was actually that high of a number. Could you have ever envisioned that this great city of Las Vegas would ever, forget about having an NFL team, an NBA team, NHL team, but host the granddaddy of them all, the Super Bowl?
No. And I think so much of it, yeah, I'll go back to my childhood, right? When I was a little kid, I would argue Vegas has always been a sports town.
Sure.
I mean, think about the big events and the boxing and the wide world of sports that we all grew up on, right? Like UNLV basketball for me when I was a kid. The world shut down in this city when it was Larry Johnson, Stacey Augmon, Greg Anthony, like out there. Like it, so it's been a sports town. But I never thought we'd get to this point because it's also a gambling town. We all know that. So perception had to change. Legislation had to change.
Sure.
It wasn't until the early 2000s that there was a legislation change that allowed teams to be bet on if they're in this state. That had to change. So all of these things had to happen to line up. I just grew up understanding that professional sports would never exist in this city. So as I sit here in a Golden Knights hoodie and having come out here a bunch to watch the Raiders, to think that the Super Bowl, like there's a legitimacy that comes to the Super Bowl being in this city that you can't buy that. You can't change that. Like Vegas changes forever in the eyes of a lot of people that still think of Vegas in the old mafia days in this event.
And you think about Vegas, like the betting town. Well, there's 38 states plus the District of Columbia have legalized sports betting now, which has all changed since 2018. You and I were at ESPN when that change had, and you know now companies like ESPN and Fox and Yahoo are all embracing sports betting. But there was always that, will the NFL? And by the way, MLB, NHL, and NBA all embraced it right away. They all did deals with the DraftKings, the FanDuels of the world. The NFL sat back and waited. They waited. They say, let's see what happens and see how important it is. Now, they got behind. They got behind fast. But now, they're sitting here with a team in Vegas, with a Super Bowl in Vegas, and this atmosphere that we're going to see all week long. Like, what do you think about everything that is going on here and how the NFL has made that 180 that said, okay, next year's Super Bowl, by the way, is at the Caesars Superdome. So
right.
You have a Super Bowl in Vegas, followed by a Super Bowl with a stadium named after one of the biggest sports betting companies in the world. The 180 that the NFL has done to not only allow it, but embrace it.
It also changes the way those brands are seen, right? Like, I keep going back to props, something you and I have talked about a lot over the years, but like, it's funny to me to think about if 10 years ago you'd have gone up to your friend and said, okay, I got these six props running in the game, somebody would have laughed you out of the room. They'd have been like, do you have a problem? And I can't believe it. What? Who is this person? Like, where are you placing these bets? And now every single Sunday when I hang out with my friends, the first thing we're all talking about is, all right, what do you have? Like, what's parlay? What's your weird home run that you're trying to hit? Like, all of these different things that were all sort of built into the sports watching culture. I think what happens is when you have a brand as big as the NFL and they legitimize all of this, it legitimizes the action around it, the concepts around it, it legitimizes the way that we see the city. So it's interesting to me because while the NFL is still very guarded with their rules and regulations, and they need to be, the way people view just the process of sports betting today is different than it was 5 years ago. And I think the Raiders being here and the Super Bowl being, like, you can put a team in the city and say, hey, we're not going to go all in. This is putting a ring on it.
Yes.
Like, this is absolutely putting a ring on it.
You're absolutely in. And it's funny because you look at 2018, you had to go to Nevada to sports bet. Legal. Call it what it is. Legal. Now you could argue that there are other states that are better to be in than Nevada. Like, I'm in Connecticut, you're in Connecticut. We have a sports book on our phone. We can play blackjack on our phone. We can bet on any sport on our phone. Nevada's still now kind of the old school way where if I want to bet on sports, I gotta go register at the book to download an app that's not nearly as good as the same app in New Jersey or Connecticut. So, like, I've been in Vegas for 48 hours and I haven't bet a thing. All my betting's been done on my apps back home because you don't need to be here anymore. So it's almost like the world has caught up with sports betting, and now you're in Vegas. But, like, do I really need to sit at that blackjack table? Like, I got one on my phone. I can play whenever I want. Do I really need to go to the book and register? I got it on my phone. But it's, you talk about your friends and your group chat. Like, all those group chats used to be fantasy related. They were all fantasy stuff. And then you notice after week 12 and 13, when people started being eliminated, those chats got smaller and smaller. Now it continues. Now it's like, hey, what do you have in the wild card game? What is your parlay? Like, and then you have all of the props out there, and there are over 2,000 props to bet in this game. Speaking of which, is there any you like?
No. This game makes me wildly nervous. Let's just be honest, because everything on paper screams that the 49ers should be a better team, but I was wrong about everything in the Ravens game, too.
Sure.
Like, I thought the Ravens defense would be able to thwart the Chiefs in a way that made everything comfortable for me. So I think what's interesting right now, I don't love, for the 49ers, Debo's health obviously has been a question to a certain extent, so I don't love the 49ers offensively going against this Chiefs defense that's been much better than I expected. I like the under in this game overall. I don't, there aren't props yet that I felt really comfortable with. Like, is there something that you love out of it?
Because I'm also on the under. I took the Chiefs as well, but I also had the Chiefs as a future that I had from before the season, so if the Chiefs win, I'll do significantly better than if the Niners win. I like no score for 6 minutes, and we'll get into that later when we have our betting show. But Super Bowls historically are not off to fast starts.
And for that, by the way, you mentioned all of that. I will say one prop that I've continually done through the playoffs for the Chiefs, Pacheco over rushing attempts. Always.
Absolutely.
Pacheco over rushing attempts. Like, we are forgetting that the Chiefs are a running football
team.
Pacheco over rushing attempts every week has been so.
Me and Adam Beasley just did a Super Bowl preview a minute ago. The reason I gave that the Chiefs were going to win the game was because this is not your grandfather's Chiefs. Like, this is a running team. Pacheco has hit his over in yards in all three playoff games. Every year when you're doing fantasy, you're doing season previews, oh, the Chiefs still have a running back. They have a running back. Isaiah Pacheco has been their MVP for the postseason. And the Niners, by the way, don't have a great rush defense. They have names. They have a good pass defense. Chiefs win this game if they run the ball. And I think they can, which keeps it a low-scoring game. And back to the under in the first 6 minutes, no score. I bet it every year because the Super Bowl tends to be a jittery little start. Chiefs are not an explosive team. The Niners have had their moments, but they've only had two touchdowns in the first 6 minutes of their last 10 games. I bet it every year, and it's 6-1 the last 7 years. So I do like no score. The books are catching up. There used to be no score first 5.5 minutes. They've now made it 6 minutes, thinking, 30 seconds, nobody will catch on. I caught on, but I still like it. Watch them score at the 5:52 mark.
I also, in that sense, you mentioned slow starts. We can look back all year at Brock Purdy as somebody that takes a minute to settle down in games. So, like, to me, it makes it. And what have we seen? Like, you almost have to have two conversations about Purdy, the football player, right now. Like, how do you compartmentalize three quarters of meh with one quarter of, oh my God, right? Like, we've seen that repeatedly. I think a slow start for Purdy makes a lot of sense in this football game.
As long as he doesn't throw an early pick to give them a cheap field goal, we don't want that.
Right.
I did want to give you time to plug what you're doing, where you're at. You and I were both at ESPN until March. I left for Pro Football Network. You left for Yahoo. So why don't you tell everybody exactly what you're doing at Yahoo?
Yeah, Yahoo's been amazing for me. So I'm covering college football, the NFL primarily, everything else a little bit. But those are the two main things right now. And then we're doing a bunch of podcasts, Zero Blitz Podcast Network. You can go out and check that out. And then a lot of fantasy football work, too. So Fantasy Football Live, a show that we were really proud of this year and nominated for a bunch of awards. So, like, Yahoo has been really welcoming for me, bringing me into the Fulton family. We do a lot of quick hit videos. So, like, check out the Yahoo Sports app. It's fun.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you that, like, I was at a minor league baseball game one year and I heard them introduce you. And I'm thinking, Fitz is going to throw out the first pitch. No, he's going to sing the national anthem. No, he's going to do what?
Play the national anthem on film. Yeah.
On what?
On the violin, yeah.
Like, violinist, if you didn't know, not only is a huge media personality, but he's also a professional violinist. So, jack of all trades.
I've had two dream careers. There's no doubt about it. Like, I think I'm the only person in the world can say that I've had a Grammy vote and a Biletnikoff Award vote. There we go.
There you go.
That's the weirdest combo in the world. I'm like some sort of casserole that doesn't really work on paper, but it does. Like, that's what I think.
There's a guy who has a Biletnikoff vote and a Grammy vote. He's Jason Fitz. I'm David Behrman. We're here at PFN. Go to ProFootballNetwork.com or Yahoo Sports to see Jason Fitz reporting live from Radio Row. And that will be a wrap.